There's a phrase that comes to us from 1 Samuel chapter 7 that has just gone over and over and over again in my spirit throughout the last few hours and few days. Chapter 7, verse 12 of 1 Samuel. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Hitherto, through it all, God has helped us, and God has brought us to this point. The casualties are many in church work, in the ministry, as well as in churches. God has kept us. To God be the glory. To this moment, God has helped us. There's a very sad picture painted for us in Samuel. The ark was out of place. And I don't know of anything that is sadder in the kingdom of God. You can have beautiful choirs, you can have eloquent preaching, you can have beautiful sanctuaries, but when the ark is out of place, there's a tremendous problem. The word, the protection, the power, and the presence of God was missing. And God judged my heart that it not be said in any kind of a prideful or a braggadocious way, because the Lord spoke to my heart some 3 or 4 years ago and just instructed us to begin to come out of praise and worship and have an altar call. The more I think of it, the more logical it really is, because we're seeing a lot more people saved than we did after my great preaching. We enter His presence with singing, and when are people's hearts any more tender and any more touched than they are coming out of praise and worship? You saw elderly people. You saw young men. You saw people in young married ages and categories of life. You saw people of all colors of skin. That's the way heaven's going to be. But I believe that church is to be a place where people find Jesus. This is not a showcase. The thing I appreciate about this choir, if we'd said, "I don't believe we're going to have any choir music today," the musicians would not walk off the platform. There would not be a mutiny or a split or some kind of a hard feeling, or if we had a certain solo scheduled. We have some wonderful talent. But every one of them to a person has told me, "Pastor, you follow God and you do what God leads you to do, and our turn will come on another occasion." But the sad picture here was that the ark was out of place. The word, the protection, the power, the presence of God was missing. And when the word and the protection and the power and the presence of God is missing, you're going to have converts missing. It's a sad day when the presence of God is missing and Ichabod is written over a minister or a ministry or a church or, God forbid, a nation. The Lord has departed. The amazing thing is that it took 20 years until Israel became desperate enough to say, "I think we need a change." I read a letter. It was sent to me by David Barton, and it was lamenting the very same things that this nation has faced over the last 18 months. Times really don't change. Things really don't change. God never changes, and unfortunately, people repeat the sins, the mistakes of all time. But it took 20 years until Israel became desperate enough to lament in great sorrow and to seek God. You know, as a pastor, I'm always amazed. What's it going to take for some people to finally wake up that the way of the transgressor is hard? God's way is easy. It's far easier than any comparison of this world system. And sometimes you just wonder, how much more is it going to take for some people to wake up and realize, my way is not getting it. It's time to go back to God. You see, for 20 years, Israel was in great sorrow. There was no joy. There was no rejoicing. There was no happiness in Israel. There was no blessing in Israel. And you may be here this morning and you may say, "Well, you know, these people are, I don't mind a little excitement, but these people are going to get so excited when the rapture takes place, they're liable to just sail clean past heaven, you know." Well, I don't think so. I think their guidance system is accurate. But I remember Sunday mornings before revival when you would pull, beg, plead, do everything you knew how to do, and maybe one, maybe two, sometimes none would come forward on the altar call. Last Thursday night, 15 came forward on the altar call. In every public service in this church, people are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. But there was no joy, no rejoicing, no happiness, no blessing in Israel. Since revival, our finances have tripled, I suppose. I was a little shocked this last week just to see some of the things that God has done. We're seeing more people saved. We're doing more for missions. There's more of a joy. I would not be entering a brief message even at this time before revival. But since revival, people seem to enjoy church. The fun has come back to going to church. Church is not a quick drive through and you order something and you catch it on the way out of the drive. It takes time to worship God. It takes time to hear from God. It takes time to let God do a work. You know, if some of these young men that I saw come this morning, if they were some of your sons, you'd say, "Pastor, take all the time you need. Pastor, if it takes all day long, just stay with it." We took almost 25 minutes or 20 or 25 minutes, but it's worth it to see people coming to Christ. It's what it's all about. Then we can go in the service and close in a pastoral way or whatever way God leads. You're not locked into just having to come to the end of the tunnel when sometimes people are restless, leaving or whatever, and then try to have an altar call. We're trying to make the main thing, and put first things first. But in the midst of a national mess came the message from the prophet turned evangelist by the name of Samuel. They turned their heart to the man of God here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines." One thing that I love about the Old Testament, I'm very much a New Testament, New Covenant preacher and minister and believer, but I like the pictures that are painted in the Old Testament. Really, things never really change. Human nature really never changes. And in the midst of a national mess came the message from the prophet turned evangelist by the name of Samuel. Notice Samuel's message on how Israel could experience revival and turn their nation back to God. It's the same today. He said, "Return to God with all of your hearts. Put away your strange gods." What gods are you serving? "Prepare your hearts unto God." You know, we shouldn't just come to church and let the praise singers prepare our hearts. We should prepare our hearts before we come to church. We should prepare our hearts before we even arrive at church. And then he said, "And serve God only." What gods do we serve? "Then God will deliver you," if you'll let me paraphrase, "out of your mess. If you'll return to God, put away the strange gods, prepare your heart, spend some time with God and the Word of God and prayer, and let God guide your life." Many lives would not be in the mess they're in if you'd begin the day by saying, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, your will, your way, what do you want?" Well, as we listen to what Samuel said, the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth. And they served the Lord only. In other words, they turned and repented. And that's what revival is all about. Repenting and turning and changing. Repenting and turning and changing. And Samuel called all Israel together to Mizpah. And he said, "I will pray for you unto the Lord." And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew out life-giving water. They poured out water. You say, what significance is that? Water is life. They were willing to pour out of their very life to give to God. They poured it out on the ground. And they fasted and they prayed and they repented. And they brought an offering unto God. And I'd like to say, and they lived happily forever after. But I've got to tell you the truth. While they were repenting and turning and changing and offering unto God, and while they were in the midst of doing what was right and turning toward the Lord, guess what? The Philistines came down upon them. Now, sometimes people say, well, if I go to church and if I serve God and if I trust Jesus, I'll have no problems. You're on another planet. You're out there somewhere beyond reality. When the Philistines heard that Israel was repenting and turning and changing, and they were giving offerings unto God, and they were listening to what the prophet Samuel was saying unto them, the Philistines came down upon them. Let me tell you something. There will always be giants in your land to overcome. There will always be giants in your land to overcome. Always. That's the bad news. The good news is, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now Israel turns again to Samuel. They said, Samuel, I thought if we turned our heart to God, repented and turned from our heathen gods and gave offerings unto the Lord and did the right thing, we wouldn't have any more problems. The Philistines are coming down upon us. And again, Samuel turns to pray. I'll tell you, folks, there's a way when you pray. There's a way when you pray. You can call everyone in the United States of America and overseas, and nothing will change for you, but there's a way when you begin to pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Samuel again now gives an offering unto the Lord. A lamb was sacrificed, speaking of the Lamb of God which was to come. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard Samuel. While the offering was being offered to God, the Philistines are still coming. You say, preacher, tell me that all my problems are disappearing while I'm in church this morning. No, but let me rephrase that. The one who is greater than your problems, the one who is greater than your needs, the one who is greater than your difficulty is for you. So this is an interesting story. Samuel is crying out to God. The offering of the lamb, the sacrifice lamb, was going forth, wholly offered unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And while the offering was being offered to God, the Philistines are still coming. But wait a minute. The word of God tells us in the 10th chapter of chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, while they were yet offering, the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day. Now, this is not light thunder. This is not just a little rumble in the skies. There's an Old Testament word called discomfited, and when God ever mixes that word discomfited with his enemies, they're in a world of hurt, and not for long. Discomfited is everything Hollywood can put together in one package and a million times more. You talk about scare movies. God knows how to put the fear of God into the enemies of God. There was a great thunder in the sky. Can you imagine that? And God discomfited them, confused them, overwhelmed them. I mean, what if you're just going down the road to the war and the lights go out and the thunder begins to roll and the lightnings are flashing and people begin to fall dead all around you? That would be a little bit discomforting. God discomforted them and they were smitten before Israel. Now it comes to the easy point that some people don't always believe you. We've seen this up and down. You turn to God, but then the enemy comes. And then you're sacrificing, and the enemy is still coming. And then you ask the man of God to pray. And where do we go from here? Get ready. It's time for God's thunder. Get ready. It's time for God's thunder on your enemies. It's time for the thunder of God. It's time for the lightnings of God. The Bible said that they were smitten before Israel, and those that were not smitten, they smote them and pursued them, and they came all the way to Bethkar, and Samuel led Israel in repenting and returning to God, and God supernaturally fought their battle and destroyed Israel's enemy. Now, if a church is not working for you, then we're all missing the point. So many times they say, oh, our preacher's a marvelous preacher. What did he say last Sunday? I don't have a clue. but it was great. Oh, they sang a great anthem, but what did your heart get out of it? Did it help you on Monday morning? Did it help you on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday? The test of it is, does this work in a workaday world? Let me share this with you. Not only did they turn to God and repented and turned and changed and God turned their situation around, God fought their battle, destroyed Israel's enemy. And then Samuel took a stone so that all Israel could see. And he named it Ebenezer. You know, these Old Testament prophets were champions of illustrated messages. And he took a stone. It must have been a good-sized stone. And he named this stone Ebenezer. And the meaning of that is the stone of help. The stone of help. Reminding believers of all times that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And reminding believers of all time, hitherto hath God heard us, helped us, blessed us, strengthened us, and led us out. You see, God honors the sacrifices we make. God has honored the sacrifices of this great congregation. And we've had many of our precious ones go on to be with the Lord. If you pastor long enough, that will happen. Someone said, no one ever died while I pastored, and that comes under the category. If you've got a 2-year pastorate, you might slip by on that one. But if you pastor 35 years, you'll see some people that were a little bit younger when you started, and the time for them to go home, arrival and departure happens in every congregation. But he wanted believers of all times to remember that when we sacrifice under the chief cornerstone, that there will be a rock in our life by the name of Ebenezer. And what that stone is all about, it's the stone of help. Hitherto hath God helped us. I like the song of Andre Crouch that he came out with a number of years ago. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust His Word. Through it all, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I don't know of anyone doing anything for God today that has not faced the impossible over and over and over again. Sometimes people equate faith with the fact that someone never has a problem or never has a challenge. Some of the great ministries of today, if you would only know, you'd be surprised at the things that they have encountered and the things that their faith is on the line even as they stand up and teach or preach, be it television, radio, auditorium crusades, or pastors of churches. I don't know of anyone doing anything for God today that has not faced the impossible over and over and over. If you only knew behind the scenes. But I just want to remind you of this. That word hitherto, it's a very interesting word. Oh, this word hitherto, referring to challenging, impossible times that we faced. Hitherto, referring to impossible places that we have come through. Responding to impossible events and situations and people, God has brought us through. Hitherto, through the breaking, through the consuming, through the crushing, through the odds against us, 10-1, or God only knows how many. Through all the difficulties that a child of God can face, God wants us to thank God that things are as good as they are. Hitherto hath the Lord brought us this far. But I want to just remind you of this. Somewhere in Israel today, there's a stone called Ebenezer. You say, where is it, Pastor? I don't know. Somewhere, there's still a stone by the name of Ebenezer, the rock of my help. You say, what significance is a 35th anniversary? Really, I know how joy feels, and I really feel the same way. But you know, we need to celebrate what's right in the land. We need to celebrate a group of people that's been faithful. We need to celebrate workers and staff that have done the right thing and been honorable and faithful and loyal over a period of time. We need to celebrate the righteous of the land. What is the significance of 35 years that we celebrate today? Our first Sunday after Easter was the beginning day of this church in 1964. We've only been in two locations. We moved downtown in 1976. We're celebrating, hitherto hath the Lord brought us. We're celebrating that today is another Ebenezer. We're celebrating the rock Christ Jesus, who is the chief cornerstone, the rock of help who has helped us, that we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy name. He's never failed us. And I like what the late Dr. Lester Roloff said. He said, I don't like that yet. He's never failed us yet. Said, He won't fail you. So why do we bring up the victories of the past? One disgruntled person that's been gone for a long time said, you should never bring up anything of the past. I thought about that, but then I thought, I wonder how far Moses could go without remembering the Red Sea. I wonder how far Daniel could go without remembering the lion's den. I wonder how far the three Hebrew children could go without remembering there was a fiery furnace and they threw three in, but there was the fourth man who was likened unto the Son of God. I wonder how long Moses could go without remembering that God was able to prepare a table in the wilderness. When God does the absolute impossible, when God does that which is exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, excuse me, I can't forget it. I refuse to forget it. I give God the glory and I give Him the honor and I give Him the praise. Do you think Moses could ever forget that day when water came out of the rock? This church has been to me what the Red Sea was to Moses. I guess that's the joy of a long-term pastoring. You see things over a period of time. You don't run when the going gets tough. So Calvary Cathedral has been my burning bush. Calvary Cathedral has been our Red Sea crossing. Calvary Cathedral for me has been the table in the wilderness. It's been the water out of the rock. It's been my place where I could meet the fourth man in the midst of the fire. For me, Calvary Cathedral has been the angel that made the lions to be at peace in the lion's den. And I've had the revelation that's unshakable that God can keep us in any given storm. And what God has done for Joy and I and what God's done for this church over and over and over again, we're not bragging on us. We're bragging on the rock. We're bragging on the cornerstone. We're bragging on Ebenezer, the rock of help, the rock of strength, the rock of miracles, the rock that brought us through when there was no help. Thank God for the rock. Hitherto hath the Lord brought us. That's my story. That's your story. Hitherto hath the Lord brought many of you out of poverty. Hitherto has the Lord brought your marriage through. Hitherto has the Lord saved your business. Saved your children. Thank God for a Jesus that can break the drug habit, the alcohol habit, the sin habit, no matter what it may be. Hitherto hath the Lord brought us.